Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It's time to get up with Jimmy Buckets. The Butler did it again last night as the Celtics fell apart. What the heck happened? Plus, the showdown in Denver. Is it a must-win for LeBron and company tonight? Is it already over if they lose game two? In 32-team, 32-quarterback questions, we'll go through some of the biggest this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Get Up. I'm Brian Custer in for Greeny. What a night of hoops we had last night in the NBA. We got Alan Hahn. We got Monica McNutt here to talk all about it. But look who's also here. Damian Woody. Dan Graziano. They got the goggles on. You know what that means. D-Wood is smashing helmets this morning. Look, it's 112 days until the season starts, so why not get his way too early division picks? D-Wood, start with the AFC West.
Hey, man, this is going to be real quick for everybody out there. Listen, Russell Wilson stunk last year, okay?
Whoa.
Devontae Adams don't even agree with the plan that they have in place.
No, okay? They fired his butt.
Last time we saw the Los Angeles Chargers, they lost being up 27 points. Come on now. Y'all know who we rolling with. We rolling with Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid.
What a difference a year makes. Remember last year? It was like it could be anybody.
It could be now anybody. No, we're going with the Chiefs, baby.
Listen, we got more smashing helmets coming up. Let's get to the smash of the night. Celtics, the Heat, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. And we got to pick this up in the first quarter. Heat down one. Jimmy Butler gets the mismatch. Peyton Pritchard, you know, that's mouse in the house. Butler had 12 points in the first quarter. Go to the second. Celtics up two. Jaylen Brown driving, scoring, and one. Brown had 22. Celtics were up five after that free throw. And then just 2 minutes to play until the half. Jason Tatum splits them and gets the bucket and one. He had 30, but oh boy, what a fourth quarter he had. Celtics go on a 25 run to end the first half. But in the third, the Heat came out on fire. Kevin Love, count it. That's a three. He was 3 of 4 from the field. And they weren't done. How about Bam Adebayo? He gets it in the post. Count the bucket and one. And the Heat now down just one. And then Jimmy Buckets going to work. How about that effort, the tip in and the foul? Coach Mazzulla of the Celtics, so upset with their effort, throws the clipboard at his crew. 2 minutes left here in the quarter. Jimmy Butler for three. You know, the Heat scored 46 points in the third, most in any quarter in franchise playoff history. And we get to the fourth, and again, it's Jimmy Butler. The fadeaway, Heat up 9 at this point. Celtics down 7, Tatum driving, and it's a turnover. That was a theme we saw a lot in the fourth quarter. Brogdon misses, they kick it out to Jason Tatum. Another turnover. He had no field goals, 3 turnovers in the fourth quarter alone. Under a minute to play, shot clock winding down, Jimmy Butler to close it out. The 3-game blouses. Butler with 35. Heat win game one, 123-116. Here's Jimmy Butler after the game.
And if you go back all the way to that night against Chicago in the play-in, did you think then that something like this would be possible?
Damn right. I did. Damn right. We did. And the best part about it is we still don't care what none of y'all think. Honestly speaking, we don't care if you pick us to win. We never have. We never will.
Joe, you said they played harder than you in the third quarter. That's what they do. They play harder than their opponent. How are you guys unprepared for that?
And we were prepared. We played harder than them in the first half, and then they outplayed us for one quarter. So we were prepared for it. We had the right mindset heading into the game. But we had the right mindset heading into the game.
Boy, certainly testy, Mazzulla and the media there. Now, look, I thought that question was unfair. How were you unprepared for that? I don't know about that, but listen, the Heat exploded 46 points in that third quarter alone. What happened to Boston after the half?
Well, the rest of that quote is what happened, because what he said at that point, what Mazzulla said, was alarming. We were prepared, then we let go of the rope. Then we let go. It's the Western Conference Finals, game one. The day before, Al Horford had to stop practice and tell his players, we're not practicing hard enough. We're not ready to play. This is way too loose. If you've got to say that to a team that last year was in the NBA Finals, we can't make this about coaching. This team has enough experience to understand the moment, and they clearly didn't understand the moment.
Monica? I'm inclined to agree. Listen, the nature of Joe Mazzulla's pressers at this point are almost combative, right? Yeah. Which is to be expected, and I don't think he's going to say that we were unprepared in the sense that I didn't do my work. To your point, letting go of the rope, and what we then saw to finish out the fourth quarter as far as your star not touching the basketball until he had consecutive turnovers, like, that is player to me. And I understand the nuances of coaches and how Eric Spoelstra on the other side, it should be celebrated for all that he's been able to get out of this Heat squad. But at the same time, if you're the Celtics, you've got to walk in the experience and in the identity, quite frankly, the way that the Heat did.
So you're talking about players. I want to show you guys something, because Jason Tatum scored 30 points in this game, but did not attempt a field goal in the fourth quarter.
Well, he
had three turnovers. He had just 13 touches in the fourth, 34 dribbles, both marked the second fewest of any in the fourth quarter this season. How does this happen, Monica?
I'm not sure. And particularly as one who is cut from the Kobe cloth, right? That is so far away from the Mamba mentality, I think it's a disgrace to have it mentioned in the same sentence. This to me was highly disappointing, and it seems to be, I don't want to say thematic because I don't think it's contagious in that way, but we've had this conversation more times than not about guys that are supposed to be the stars shrinking away from the moment. I will say that the Celtics have Jaylen Brown, who's terrific. Al Horford has knocked down big shots. There is this let it flow, maybe not force it because we trust one another thing that happens. But to me, if you're Jason Tatum, what we've seen in these playoffs, closeout performances, 50, monster games, 51 piece, right?
51.
That is just flat out unacceptable. I don't get it. I am highly baffled.
Miami is why. Remember, he tried to shoot. He turned the ball over.
But before that,
a couple of times, it was an abomination, a couple of these turnovers. The one where he literally just jumps off the ground and has nowhere to go. Jimmy Butler guarded him a ton in this game, an absolute ton. And he did not shoot the ball. 2 of 6 when Jimmy Butler was his final defender. But as you saw on those highlights, look at the defense. Just watch the effort here. Here's Strus not letting him go by, just closing out, forcing a bad pass, and Jimmy waiting for the turnover. Look at this here, the switch again. Then you see right there, Caleb Martin ready for the charge,
yeah,
just getting his way.
That's not new.
This is terrific defense. This is what Miami does to you. Then a hard closeout where he jumps and realizes, I can't get this shot off. Sometimes the other team was really prepared to take you out of the game, and your next option has to be the next, your best option. And you have to credit what Miami did here in that point.
Yes.
But what you criticize is the Celtics for putting themselves in this position because of how big of a lead they had at home in the third quarter. Early in the third quarter.
Okay, I'll give you that. Two things. Yes, give Miami a ton of credit. This is a team that hangs their hat on defense. They do a great job. However, you're Jason Tatum. You have seen defenses be geared up to you all season long.
Yes.
So I just think, to me, the overall slot selection, I'm not taking anything away from Max Strus, Jimmy Butler, load up. You and I just witnessed this Miami Heat defense.
That's why I recognize it.
We can see it. But I think if you're Jason Tatum, you know that's coming. You have to be a better decision maker. Now, we get into the nuances in terms of how some of these turnovers came to be. What were y'all running? Are you completely leaning on ISO while the Heat are loading up 2 and 3 bodies
yes,
towards
they
Tatum?
Are.
Well, that becomes a little bit of a problem. But to me, again, as a collective, you guys have experience. So nobody saw that was what was happening?
Right, and you're talking now adjustments.
But yeah. I will say this, the one guy we're not questioning, Jimmy Butler.
Of course not.
35 points last night, and as you talked about, generally goes against the best player on the other team, plays defense as well. Yep. Is he the best player right now in the play?
It is very interesting, isn't it? Have this conversation. Now, let's just be playoff Jimmy we're talking about here. We're not talking about all season long Jimmy Butler. We're talking about playoff Jimmy. And when you look at the final four teams and you consider all the star players that are still left, Nikola Jokic, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, where would you rank? Where would you take playoff Jimmy among those players right now? If you had to win a game 7 or if you had to win a playoff game, I mean, is he second behind Jokic because of what he delivers in the postseason, Mom?
I know that the overall stats in the playoffs might suggest that he's second, but I would wonder what it looks like in clutch time legit.
Yes.
And so
Jimmy Butler.
When I think of clutch
time, want this
I'm
guy.
Going Jimmy Butler.
I want
You're
this
putting
guy.
Him over Jokic.
I'm yes.
Jimmy Butler.
The guy's averaging a triple-double, yeah. but we're going
crazy,
Jimmy,
right? Yeah. But he's just proven in the moments that matter most. You just heard the sound we just ran. Yeah. They are not supposed to be here, in theory, right? Like, and I tweeted this last night, and again, personal experience with this Miami Heat squad.
Yep.
I have long let go of 8th seed, play-in squad, injured, undrafted players. We have to have more of a conversation about the collective experience, not just Coach Spo, but these are guys that were here fighting for a spot for the finals last year. Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, they got more quality experience than some guys with some other NBA rosters, point blank, period.
I love that. By the way, because we got Eminem here, we got to play a game that is sweeping the nation. That's right. Is that McNuts? So the first question, Lakers need another 40 piece from Anthony Davis to win game two tonight. Is that McNuts?
All right, because I'm going with that one being McNuts. While that would be fantastic, I think it's more about Anthony Davis's presence as a defender. And so if he can get you a 3-4-5 block type of performance and he has a casual double-double, I say casual because he's capable of 20 and 10 in his sleep, like that to me, I need to see what it looks like in the flow of the game. It's not necessarily going to be 40 points.
We've talked about the playoffs. How about this one? Is Nikola Jokic the best player in the NBA right now? Is that McNuts?
Gosh, the nuance. I don't think that this is McNuts. You talk about him putting up these crazy triple-doubles, looking like he's got the defense and the ball on a string, just manipulating teams at will. It's really, really hard not to give him his credit, especially with the consistency that he's been able to maintain this postseason.
LeBron and the Lakers will get swept by the Nuggets. Is that McNuts?
Who wrote this? Y'all clearly just wanted a reaction from me. Absolutely not. The closer that LeBron and company get, I think the more that LeBron smells blood in the water and is going to propel his team by any means necessary to put up the best postseason performance in this particular series possible. That will not be a sweep. You can bank on that.
Let me tell you something. This was 11 minutes of good television here because coming up is tonight a must win for LeBron and company with the Lakers. Must change tonight to avoid going down 0-2. Plus, if you think Aaron Rodgers solves all the Jets' offensive issues, think again. Dan Graziano has all the burning quarterback questions coming up. And you know what? Damian Woody is smashing more helmets.
How many helmets we got for him?
We got a lot of them. Oh, he gives us his way too early division picks.
We got
all the show long.
Everywhere.
More smashing helmets on the way. We'll be back. Let's get up.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by White Men Can't Jump. You can see this movie event Friday only on Hulu. Rated R. Hey, the champ is here. You know, frost is causing a delay this morning at the PGA tournament in Rochester, New York. There's the defending champ, Justin Thomas, this morning arriving at Oak Hill. First round now scheduled to get started at 8:50 a.m. Eastern. You can see it on ESPN+. Time for your wake-up call. Heat Celtics last night. Here's Kevin Harlan.
Adebayo matching his way into Horford. Shot clock at three. Butler with Brogdon on him. It's a long three. And good! Oh, Jimmy freaking Butler puts it in.
Did he say Jimmy freaking Butler?
Is it all?
Yeah, the Butler did it all last night. Second career road playoff win, 30 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals. You know, the only other player to do that twice on the road. How about the GOAT himself, Michael Jordan? All right, Dan Graziano's got a new article on ESPN.com, burning QB questions for every team. Let's start AFC East. Dan, biggest question for Tua and the Dolphins.
Can Tua stay on the field? 3 years in the league, he has missed at least 3 games every year. This is the big question for a team that has, it looks like it's built an outstanding roster and really needs reliable quarterback play. Again, you see here, it's unfortunate what's happened to him. Not all his fault, but that remains the big question heading into this season for the Miami Dolphins.
All right, what about the Patriots and who, Mac Jones? Who, Mac Jones?
Can Bill O'Brien save Mac Jones? Jones, 2 years ago, an outstanding rookie season, led the Patriots to the playoffs. But then last year, they didn't really have an offensive coordinator. They gave it to Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, and everybody was confused, and they had a hard time generating any offense. They hire Bill O'Brien, who's been there before. Maybe he can unlock something in Mac Jones that looks a lot more like his rookie year than last year.
Okay, what about Josh Allen and the Bills?
Can Josh Allen fix his turnover problem? Only Dak Prescott and Davis Mills threw more interceptions last year than Allen's 14. Nobody threw more red zone interceptions than Allen's 5. It's possible the Bills have been asking Allen to carry them too much, and that's what shows up in these situations. But if it continues to happen, it will limit how far Buffalo can go.
All right. Of course, we got Groz here. We got Damian Woody. Alan Hahn is here with me now. So let's talk about the Jets since we are in that division. D-Wood, do the Jets have enough protection, you think, around Aaron Rodgers?
Well, that's the big question, right? Because we know it's not for lack of talent. Joe Douglas have added a tremendous amount of resources to the offensive line. It's just been health. It's been healthy with the Jets offensive line. I think they had like 3 starters, you know, out last year. And obviously the big one is Mekhi Becton, literally. Yep. Mekhi Becton. And he, to me, he's the X factor, right, in this whole situation. He's a guy, you know, high draft pick, basically hasn't played in the last two seasons. He's in a contract year. If Mekhi Becton comes back right, he's the biggest X factor for this team. But protection is going to be paramount. That is the biggest issue as it relates to this Jets roster.
Let me ask you from experience, when you're in a contract year, is that generally a good motivational factor?
Yeah. Like, when you're talking about that scratch, that bread, like, if that don't get you motivated,
that's what I
then
mean.
Nothing else will.
So, from a Jets perspective, it's like the perfect scenario, right? Like, you have a guy that you know that you drafted very high,
yep,
that when he was playing early in his career, his first year, second year, he was tremendous, like, right, really good. Then they had him pulling, running around. It was too much. That was not the right thing for him. He got hurt a lot. It's time to get the bag now, and he's healthy again. That could be a good thing. And also, the Joe Tippmann addition in the draft was a really shrewd, smart second-round pickup that gives them a little bit, I think, gives them options now. They've got several guys, including Elijah Vera Tucker, who's one of the best guards in the league, and he's versatile. He proved he could play tackle when needed. So they don't have a ton of depth, but they have a lot of talent.
Oh, listen, this is the type of insight you get on ESPN Radio with Alan Hahn. Barton Hahn, well, ESPN Radio.
All right, that's what I'm talking about.
You do that 50 when we're done. All right, by the way, so let's talk about Mekhi Becton.
Yeah.
Because how much,
success when we talk about the Jets. Aaron Rodgers relies on Becton because he is so talented, but hasn't played, it seems like, in forever.
Right. One game he's played in the last two years total. So if he can stay on the field, he's talented enough and good enough that he can be a high-end left tackle. Like, he can be a key part of the answer here. You know, Dwayne Brown, they have in another tackle spot. He's 38 years old. So it's not as if they have guys that can't play. They have guys that they can't necessarily count on, right? Yeah. So, like, if these guys are both healthy and playing well, then there aren't any protection questions for Aaron Rodgers, especially you mentioned Vera Tucker, and then ideally upgrading at center in the draft. So that's the question. But if they start to have those kinds of injury problems they had last year on the offensive line, and look, the same can be said of pretty much any team, but then, yes, I think they have an issue because that's what will affect Rodgers more than anything.
We had a discussion earlier this week. If these guys are healthy, right, and Rodgers performs, is this a Super Bowl team, the Jets?
I mean, look, I think they're good enough to be in the conversation. Aaron Rodgers, over the last several years, hasn't exactly been Jimmy Butler in the playoffs, right? Like there have been some letdowns with him and the Packers. So, but they can put themselves in that position, I think. The point of getting Aaron Rodgers is I'm in the AFC. I got to be able to have a quarterback that I can walk into the building with and know that he has a chance to beat Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow or any of these other guys in the – I mean, that's loaded. So they're in the mix. We'll see what happens. You know, again, they were good last year.
Yeah.
500-ish good with extremely poor quarterback play.
Yeah.
Even if he's just okay, it'll be a major upgrade.
Super Bowl team, you think?
You don't trade for Aaron Rodgers if that's not the aspiration. You just don't make that move. Clearly, they feel like we got the roster around the quarterback position. Then you go out and trade for Aaron Rodgers.
What he said, I love everything he just said. I take all that.
I love it. All look to Caesars. Their sports book has the Bills, though, as the favorites to win the division. But the Jets are right behind them. Gann Green, of course, hasn't made the playoffs since 2010. And they haven't won the division since 2002. Woody, it's time. Mm-hmm. Another way too early division winner.
Way too early.
Give us your reasoning behind each of the AFC East picks. Let me live.
Please put
for
your
safety.
Goggles on.
No, for safety, yes. For safety.
Yeah, listen, let me start.
We're kidding. You got to get
right,
there.
Right. you need to put this on, right? Yeah. Listen, I'm going to start with my former team. One of my former teams in the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Bill O'Brien's going to make a big difference there. I think he's going to make a big difference. I question the playmaker. Do they have enough playmakers on offense to compete with these other teams?
Get him out.
Slow down. Wait a minute. Okay. Miami.
I told you.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You thought I was joking?
Yeah.
Listen, the Miami Dolphins, roster loaded.
Yes.
I mean, they got a 4x1 take. They look like them the Jamaicans out there with running in a 4x1. Tua, the quarterback position, can Tua stay healthy? He has yet to prove that he can stay healthy. Why should I believe it now?
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Lord, the mercy.
Okay.
What's going on here?
Now we're going with the Buffalo Bills. Mm. They're the champs, right? They're the champs in the division.
Yep.
It seems like we've been talking about Buffalo now for the last
three years.
Right. Here's the thing, Josh Allen, you alluded to it.
Yeah.
As great as Josh Allen is, and I love me some Josh Allen, he's a turnover machine.
Wow.
He's a turnover machine. And until that can get fixed, come on. Come on.
Wow.
Come on.
You're going with the Jets.
J-E-T-S.
Who I'm rolling with. Y'all see what time it is. This is why I'm rolling right here.
I love it.
This is why I'm rolling. I'm rolling with Aaron Rodgers and them boys.
There you go. There you go. All right, coming up, the heat is on, not only for the Jets, but for Boston. Celtics fell apart in that third quarter. Oh, can Jason Tatum, can they redeem themselves? Plus, we got the showdown in Denver. Is it a must-win for LeBron and company tonight, or is it already over if they lose game two? Jay Williams, he's going to join the discussion.
Don't talk that noise.
We smashing more him than we would.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
I just play hard. That's what, you know, MVP caliber players do. They do everything incredibly well.
Puts up the shot and thrills it right in the face of Malcolm Brogdon. Butler on the right side has to put it up. Does. Down! A dagger three by Butler to push the lead to 10.
If you want to talk the talk, you better walk the walk.
We still don't care what none of y'all think. We don't care if you pick us to win. We guard, then we hoop. We play basketball the right way, knowing that we always got a chance.
Man, it was deja vu all over again. Miami trailed by as many as 13, but had a huge third quarter, propelled them to a game one win in the conference finals, eerily similar to how game one in last season's conference finals played out between these two squads. All right, back here at the desk, Monica McNutt, Alan.
Hey,
Willie.
Hey.
What up, Mama?
Yeah. Man, boy, you sound like
you
a
clean.
Magician over at my show. Like, that's when your uncle like a deck of like, cards. Casket clean right. Today, you know what I mean?
You want to see a rabbit? I got some rabbit in here.
All right, Jay, so we got you with us. Look, you look at what Jason Tatum, how he looked, especially down the stretch. What did you see out of Jason Tatum? What happened?
Well, I love Jason Tatum. Obviously, there's a Duke brotherhood there. There is no way in hell he can have 4 shots in the second half. He is coming off a 51-point Game 7 game at home, the most points scored in NBA history in a Game 7. He had 18 points in the first quarter, and you're going to tell me he only gets 4 shots in the second half. That is alarming. That is disturbing because this team goes the way Jason Tatum goes. Secondly, I will say this. How does Joe Mazzulla not call a timeout during a 45-point third quarter? One timeout. For a guy who's been questioned about sometimes his decision-making and utilizing his timeouts, I don't see how that's actually possible.
He had a TV timeout. He got that to his benefit.
Right, that was it.
Helpful. So, that, you know, he used that one. But I think, Jay, this started the day before when Al Horford had to stop practice and call his players together and tell them, we're taking this way too lightly. Like, we're not – like, we don't have the right kind of intensity for the Eastern Conference Finals. We're playing against the Heat. We all know what we're getting here, right? We all know the Miami. What did Miami Heat do? They win game one. 6 straight game ones that they've won. We always know that's what they do. They're going to play hard. We heard Mazzulla say it in a timeout, the one of the rare ones, early in the game, where he said, this is not about strategy. This is about playing hard, making those plays, the 50-50 balls, everything. You have to outwork them. And they couldn't come up with that in the third quarter of a home game where you had early in that quarter a 12-point lead. So we can get to Tatum in fourth quarter eventually, but what led to that to me is the greater concern about this Celtics.
Well, I will say this. As the great Maya Angelou says, when people show you who they are, believe them. I'm kind of over the timeout thing because he's just not going to do it. Like I hear where you're coming from, but he has said, I want my guys to figure it out. We continue to have this conversation. We got to figure it out. So there has to be, I have a hard time believing that this is just flat out obstinance. There has to be an actual belief that my guys can figure it out, right? And so to your point, the other side of that to me is, I'm Jason Tatum. I'm coming off of a historic game. I just reminded the world that I humbly am one of the greatest players in the world. One of the greatest players in the world. And so I think we could sit here all day and nitpick about the timeout thing, but it's just not Joe Mazzulla's thing. It's just not a thing.
No, that part. But I'm just talking about the Celtic mindset. And Mazzulla, the rest of that back and forth he had with the reporter, we were prepared. Then we let go of the rope. That second part is like, what are we looking at?
That's not coaching. Like, letting go of the rope is not coaching.
But my thing is, if you're seeing it unravel in real time,
I got you.
As much as you want to let them figure it out, if you are letting go of the rope, grab onto the damn rope. That's the utilization of a timeout. That's saying, hey, pause, freeze. What are we doing? Mm-hmm. Let's stop. Because for me, the whole Al Horford thing, it's not like they haven't met Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals before.
Three out of the past four years.
Is this all much ado about nothing? Remember, they lost game one against Philly, and James Harden put up a 45.
How many times
everybody was like, oh, my God, what's going on with the Seas? And look what happened. They won that. They won that series.
Monica, I don't agree.
Right? I don't think this is much ado about nothing.
It's a different animal.
Yeah, okay. It's a completely different animal.
How about we shoot the J then, since we got Jay Williams?
Shoot it!
Okay. Not on your team, man. First question for you. Should Joel Embiid won out of Philly?
No, I think he should take one more shot at this. But the whole thought or premise that Daryl Morey is not consulting with Joel Embiid, you can lose me with that. In today's modern NBA, you always consult the best player on the team. If Joel Embiid knows what's going on, either he's letting it happen or he's behind the scenes with Daryl Morey making it happen.
Okay. Will fatigue play a factor for AD and LeBron tonight?
It better not. There's no excuses here.
Both played over 40 minutes and then get
it's fine. So did Nikola Jokic. Like, this is why you're here. You're going to play over 40 minutes. It's the Western Conference semifinals. Like Kobe said for the Lakers, let's put our big boy pants on and not use excuses about, I can't play 40 minutes to win a damn game on the road against a team that's proven to be the best team in the Western Conference for most of the year.
So is tonight then a must win? J.J. Redick told me to ask you this
question.
Yes, exactly. Is this a must win for the Lakers tonight?
I'll say it's a must win for this reason, right? Now, look, you could say, hey, Phoenix, they were down. They won 2-0. They went back. Phoenix won 2 in a row. Like, the cumulative effect of what it takes on your body to do that in the next round is something that gets factored in. And I will say it's a must win because I want my team with LeBron James and AD to start this game with a sense of urgency that I did not see them start the last game with in game one. They came out, they got down by 20, they were fighting to get back in the game. So I want them to think must win, because the way we start this game will dictate how we play the rest of this game. And if we can get a win on the road, I think that sets a different precedent with the Denver Nuggets.
Eminem, what do you think?
I don't think it's a must win. I think it will be an uphill battle if they don't win the ball game. But I just think, while, and no disrespect to the Nuggets, because they have been one of the most consistent teams in this playoffs, but we have seen at different points, for whatever reason, teams not show up and be their best selves, and that allows series to get evened out. I mean, in theory, you would have almost expected them to have a gentleman's sweep with the Suns, and that's not what happened. So I don't think it's a must win. I understand the urgency. They definitely want to go back to LA 1-1, though.
But by the way, you're saying it's McNuts.
No, and I won't say it's McNuts. I think you need that mindset. Yeah, but, I'm not ready to call a series even if this thing goes 0-2.
I'm saying this. Like, do the Lakers have somebody that can give you a prolific offensive explosion like the way Devin Booker did in those two games like they got in Phoenix? Averaged 41 points on 80% shooting. So that's what needed to occur in order for Phoenix to win those two games, by the way.
So are we saying it needs to be a LeBron James game then tonight?
No, it's too early in the series. Call me crazy. I think the pressure is more on Denver. Because if you're Denver and you get the 2-0 lead, there's more pressure on them to say that we got to take control of the series. We're home. Take control of the series before you go on the road, because the split is what, obviously, is the old cliche. It's what the road team's looking to get. Mm-hmm. So if you give them the split, game three now suddenly becomes a game in the balance for the series that you don't want to give the Lakers momentum and any kind of just feeling like they can win this series. So this has to be pedal to the metal, go up 2-0, and then go on the road, because it's going to be different now in, it's not Staples, crypto, whatever. It's going to be different in that building. Like, stars are going to be, like, it's just different vibe in that building. Western Conference Finals for the first time in a long time. That's going to be a different experience for a team that really hasn't had a lot of playoff experience this deep in the playoffs. This is a – if I'm Denver, I'm feeling the pressure to win this game more than I am the Lakers.
So we talked a lot about those adjustments that the Lakers made, especially late in that fourth quarter, and they found something. Will those adjustments, you think, slow down Jokic and Denver here in game two?
Well, I think you have to I was really frustrated by the fact that just AD was their primary defender for 3.5 quarters until the fourth, right, until you have Rui.
Yeah.
Like, I thought AD is way better off the ball and using bodies like Rui, using bodies like LeBron James, giving him multiple different looks, right, in order to make Jokic think. He is so good when he's reactive. So I think you will see different things. I also think who guards Jamal Murray tonight will be important. I think you're probably going to see Vanderbilt on Jamal Murray because they do so much DHO dribble handoff action. That having a taller guy, 6'7", 6'8", that can block shots, trailing plays, is going to be critical. So critical.
How about
what critical means?
It's a new word.
Yes.
You're
critical. critical.
Duke same guys, thing. You can rewrite your dictionary.
Same thing. Say it with conviction.
How about, like, you know, the thought of Jokic is going to get his 30-10-10? It's don't let anybody else beat you. Don't let Jamal Murray get 31. Like, is it a matter of don't let Jokic become such a playmaker that everybody else gets hot, right? Like we saw in the first half where his passing was off the charts. So he's going to score, fine, but don't let anybody else get going. Is that the mentality maybe?
Maybe so. I mean, I think Michael Malone is going to have to counter that, though, because I don't think you'll see if Aaron Gordon isn't making shots, which allows AD to play off Aaron Gordon. That's where they will hide. I think you'll see more of Jeff Green who can make those shots from the corner. But I'm trying to pick up the pace of this game. I think Denver is better when they're in transition. And by the way, everybody talks about how the Lakers are great defensively. They're actually that's in the half court. They're one of the worst teams in NBA in transition defense. That's what you saw happen in the first half.
We'll see what happens. By the way, we will have game two of the Western Conference Finals between the Lakers and the Nuggets. It's tonight, 8:30 Eastern, ESPN, and the Countdown Crew. They're going to get things started at 7:30 Eastern. All right, coming up, boy, he got paid and he got a ton of help, but there's still one huge question facing Lamar Jackson this season, and that could decide everything in the AFC North. Groz is going to tell you what that is. And as we head the break, yes, he's got the goggles on. Damian Woody, more smashing division picks. D Wood, who you got in the AFC South?
Yeah, listen, Tennessee, two quarterbacks. They don't have one.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Indianapolis. I like the Anthony Richardson pick.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think they're ready yet.
Oh, no?
Jeez. Okay. D'Amico Ryans. I like where this organization is headed. C.J. Stroud, another rookie. Not ready yet.
So who you got?
I'm going Jacksonville. Jacksonville Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence going to take another step. This team is going to be in there. No question.
Got me right in the
Did
back.
I get you?
Yeah.
I got you. Like okay. Yeah.
All
right.
Get some pads.
Yeah.
Get some pads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. Time for your wake-up call. Rays, Mets, drama, extra innings. Here's SNY's Gary Cohen.
Alonso drives one. Deep left field. Really going back. It's out of here. And the Mets win it. Into the second deck. Alonso, a three-run shot. And the Mets walk it off for the first time this year.
Man, that's Pete Alonso's fourth career walk-off home run, tied for the most by any player in Mets franchise history. It's also tied with Charlie Blackmon for the most across the majors since Alonso's first season in 2019. Back to the NFL. And we continue with Graz's burning QB questions. Let's go AFC North edition. Biggest question for Joe Burrow and the Bengals, Graz.
Will Joe Burrow's new contract extension, whenever it happens, leave room for others? I expect Burrow's deal to pay him more per year than Lamar Jackson's deal pays him, Jalen Hurts' deal pays him. The question is the structure, and will it allow the Bengals to work with guys like T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase and other of their stars to keep the team around Burrow strong? He hinted as much the other day, and that's what Bengals fans are hoping for.
Okay, so what's the biggest question then for Kenny Pickett and Steelers?
I think it's just, is Kenny Pickett really the long-term answer in Pittsburgh? They took him in the first round. They obviously believe he was. Over the second half of last season, he ranked eighth in the league in QBR, and the Steelers went 6-2. So he showed plenty of sign. Look, they only had 12 touchdown passes as a team last year. That passing game has to evolve, and he's got to be a centerpiece of it because they didn't do a whole lot at wide receiver.
So what's the biggest question then for Deshaun Watson and the Browns?
Can Deshaun Watson return to the old version of himself? This is a guy didn't play in 2021, was suspended for the first 11 games last year. But go back to 2020 with the Houston Texans. He led the league in passing yards. He's still 27 years old. Obviously, there's been a lot going on around Deshaun Watson, a lot of it of his own making, but the Browns are hoping it's all behind him and he can be the franchise quarterback that they believe they paid for.
Okay. Of course, we got D. Wood here back with us at the desk. So then let's go with Lamar. You know, talk to me about him in this new offense.
Well, that's what we want to know, right?
Yes.
Like, well, one of the great benefits of him signing his contract when he did is he's able to get into the offseason program and learn the new offense under new coordinator Todd Monken. So for years, you've heard grumblings inside that building from Lamar and the receivers, hey, we could do more in the passing game than we're being asked to do. I think, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, D. Wood, but I think Munkin's offense is going to ask that of him. I think they're going to be asked to do more in the passing game. It's about, you know, utilizing space and more play action stuff and all that. So I think the question is, can Lamar take his game to another level under a new offensive coordinator for the first time in his career?
Woody?
I'm excited. I think Lamar is going to explode this year.
Really?
I do. I think Lamar is going to explode. You got the contract situation behind him. You got it done relatively early in the offseason, so you got all this opportunity to learn this new offense under Todd Monken. They've added pieces on offense, particularly at the wide receiver position with OBJ, Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman coming back off of injury. So now as an offense, you know, that offense prior with Greg Roman, they couldn't threaten every blade of grass what we see in the NFL. Now you got legitimate pieces on the outside. With Lamar and his running capabilities, I think Lamar's going to tear it up this year.
Could we see MVP?
Yes.
Another MVP type season?
Absolutely, we could definitely see that because there's going to be different dimensions to Lamar's game as it relates to this offense that Todd Monken is going to install. And I'm also going to say also the running back.
J.K. Dobbins.
J.K.
Yeah.
Dobbins.
Yeah.
He's going to be better because remember, they kind of like we talked about in the meeting this morning, they kind of had to babysit him because he was coming because of the knee.
Yeah.
So now he's a year further removed from that, and we should see the old J.K. Dobbins, who was one of the top running backs in the National Football League.
By the way, the North, by far, closest division in the AFC in terms of odds to win it all, according to Caesars Sportsbook. You know, the Bengals, well, favorite, coming off of two straight championship game appearances, while the Steelers have the longest odds. They have, Caesars have them at just 5-1. Okay, so you know we've come to this time of the program. It's time to smash some helmets here, and let's go AFC North. Woody, who you got? Let me see.
Yeah, this here. Is a tough division right yeah. here, man. And I'm gonna start right here with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, okay.
I think they could be a dark horse team in the AFC. Okay. If Deshaun Watson turns back into the top five Deshaun Watson, they're going to make some noise, but that's the big thing with them. Pittsburgh, I like how they finished the season last year, going 6-2. I don't think it's enough for them to really make enough noise in the AFC North, so I'm going to do that.
Lord have mercy.
Okay, Cincinnati Bengals, we know what Joe Brees and Joe Scheisse can do out there,
absolutely.
Right? Okay, but this is who I'm rolling
with. Whoa, the Ravens!
I'm rolling with the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC North. We got the contract situation about he's getting his money.
Yeah.
And when you got your money, you got peace of mind, and you can go out there and show up and show out. And I think Lamar Jackson is going to have an MVP-caliber season this year.
I love it. You've been tearing it up. Let's get to some golf. Some guys going to tear it up on the course because it is a frosty start to Thursday's first round of the PGA Championship. Oak Hill Country Club, you know, the tee times, they were pushed back to thaw out the course. And, of course, the golfers, the tournament is now going to get underway. What is it, 8:50 start? All going down in cold Rochester, New York. And with that, hey, we go to America's caddy himself, Michael Collins. He joins us from Oak Hill. And, Michael, give us a... Oh, my goodness. Lord have mercy. Wait a minute. You're in Rochester. You acting like you're in the Swiss Alps, man. It's like 50 degrees. Come on.
Bro, it's 41 degrees right now, but at 5 o'clock this morning when I got up and got ready to come out here, it was 31 with a wind chill of 26. I got out here to the golf course and felt like I was training to do some Olympic bobsled qualifying. And that's the thing. I mean, we saw the sprinklers heads turned on out there probably about 7:30, 7:20 when they were trying to get the frost off of this course. But the conditions today are going to definitely change temperature-wise. But early this morning, it wasn't cold. It was seriously frigid.
Oh, so how will those conditions impact the players you think for round one?
Now, you see them out there right now watering this golf course down. And what they were doing earlier this morning is once the temperature is over freezing, they put water on that frost and it makes it go away quickly. Here's how that's going to change the golf course. The guys that are going out and playing early, they're going to get a golf course now with one, no wind, and two, soft greens. So these guys are going to be able to attack some of these hole locations. The problem for the guys that are going off early is the temperature changing means the way that the ball is going to react off the club is going to change. So they're going to have to deal with the conditions of how the ball reacts more than anybody else. For those are the guys teeing off early this morning.
Okay, Michael, so then give me your favorite to win this thing, win it all, and give me your dark horse as well.
John Rahm. I just having seen him all week and watching him prepare and practice, number one, he's in a great headspace. Like, he understands that you're not going to play perfect golf at a golf course like this. But he's still world number one, and he knows Scottie Scheffler, world number two, could overtake him if he wins. But John Rahm is just brimming with confidence and actually loves this golf course. Here's my dark horse. Everyone is talking about Max Homa for the U.S. Open because he's a California kid, it's in L.A. I say, it's way too much pressure for a hometown guy to win at home. But for Max Homa, his game sets up really well for a golf course like this. So watch Max Homa this week. Hold on. Watch Max Homa this week. So I had to take off the mitten so I could do the point thing. It made me look more serious. Before. You can't look serious. We're going, watch this. It looks better. Hey, that's
look,
better.
Man, go get you some hot chocolate and enjoy the golf. He's America's caddy, Michael Collins. Appreciate you, my man. It is this year's second major. It's right here, ESPN, the 105th PGA Championship today, 1 Eastern, Oak Hill Country Club, Rochester, New York. First round coverage
right now on ESPN Plus. All right, coming up, Jimmy Buckets, the butler. He did it again last night as the Celtics just fell apart, especially in that third quarter. What in the heck happened? We're talking about that next.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.